How do you feel about your salvation? Is that even a good question to ask? That's what we're going to discuss in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for tuning in. Today's a good day. We are continuing in our series called Beyond Doubt. This series is based on Sean Lazar's book called Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. You can get that book at faithalone.org and then click on the store. If you've got your own copy of the book and you want to follow along, we're in chapter 5. It's called Feelings Over Facts. Let's go to Sean and Bob in the Grace in Focus studios. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. We are going through my book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation, available at the bookstore, faithalone.org/store, or you can buy it on amazon.com. It's written to help people get assurance of salvation. And I go over some of the errors. One of those errors is, I call it in chapter 5, feelings over facts, the error of emotionalism. Now, we live in a culture that really emphasizes emotions over thinking, I think.
Right.
If you're in a school setting, a lot of the times a teacher will ask, not what do you think about that, but how does that make you feel?
Well, that's become real popular, Sean, in Bible studies. Oh, Haven't you seen this a lot?
Absolutely. So I was teaching a Bible study, and I was using some Southern Baptist material. I noticed that almost, I don't know if I can put a percentage on it, but a majority of the questions, I would say, it would talk about something like David being king or Nehemiah building a wall or whatever. And then it would ask an emotional question. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel? Does that comfort you? Does that make you, you know, how did you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? And I was trying to get my people to think and to believe the Bible. But all these questions were all about feelings over facts.
So that creeps into assurance as well.
Oh, it absolutely does, because people think if I was really saved, you know, I have to be happy all the time or something. I would know that I was saved because I would have felt something happen.
When I was at Dallas Seminary, Dr. Norm Geisler came toward the end of my seminary career, and I had him for one class on apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. And remember the song, one of the lines is, "You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart."
Right.
And Geisler said, that's absolutely wrong. He said, that's emotionalism.
Right.
He says, the Buddhists can tell you that their theology is correct because they have feelings.
Right.
The Mormons can say, I know our theology is correct because I've had a burning in the bosom.
Well, there are some Mormons who came to my house about a year ago, probably. I think I've been blacklisted since then. But I've read a lot of Mormon theology, and so I can talk to them, you know, about it. And these young men, they're asking me about the Book of Mormon, and I showed them my Book of Mormon. It's highlighted and it's full of notes.
Right.
And I told them, I said, listen, guys, here's the thing I cannot get past. The Book of Mormon is basically, ultimately, claims to be a history book. It claims to be about real civilizations and real place.
Right.
And so far as I know, you guys have not identified a single country, let alone a single city, of anything in the Book of Mormon. There is no evidence for the Book of Mormon whatsoever. Maybe it's in the heartland. Maybe it's in Mesoamerica. Maybe it's in other places. But there's no evidence whatsoever that this is true. It'd be like the New Testament talking about Italy or Greece, and we have no idea where those countries are.
Right.
So there's lots of evidence for the New Testament. There is none for the Book of Mormon whatsoever. And so I asked them, guys, what you're telling me is that you think this is true because you felt something.
Right.
But I have one chance in life, and I have to believe that God is going to guide us by the evidence. And I believe the New Testament is true based in part on the evidence. And you guys are basing your faith on a feeling in your bosom, even though you know the evidence is against you.
That's why what Norm Geisler said, he said, when you come down to, you ask me how I know he lives, he would sing, the Bible tells me so.
Right.
And in fact, that's what I sing at our church. When we come to that song, I say, the Bible tells me so. You don't want me singing, do you?
Yeah, John? Can you do that? We tried to do a musical show. Sean and Bob sing the classics. But I kept on getting turned down.
Why don't you sing? Because you've got a better voice than I do.
So a lot of people lack assurance because maybe they're in the down seasons of their emotional life. And people call us up, depressed people struggling with depression and other things. And they really struggle with assurance because they think that, well, if I was really saved, I wouldn't have these mental problems or emotional troubles.
You mean I wouldn't be like Elijah after he kills the 400 prophets of Baal and then he's like, Lord, take my life.
Oh, man, absolutely.
What's the point?
You know, Job was not a happy camper most of that book.
Right.
He was very upset. He was full of doubts, full of arguments. He wanted to die.
Wish I was never born.
I wish I was never born. I wish the Lord would take my life. Guess what? He was the most upright, blameless man on earth at that time. And yet he was emotionally troubled.
Right.
In anguish. That's compatible with being eternally saved, by the way.
Anybody who thinks somehow that if I'm truly born again, then I'm not going to be anxious, I'm not going to be upset, I'm not going to be angry, I'm not going to go through any depression or fear, that's not scriptural. It's not biblical. It's not practical. The truth is, part of life is dealing with our emotions.
Oh, absolutely.
If when we came to faith in Christ, all we had were positive emotions, what would be the challenge in the Christian life? Everything would just be smooth sailing.
Right. And sometimes we're tempted. We find people who are very extremely happy Christians, and they seem to be happy and very positive all the time. But that probably has more to do with their brain chemistry and just how they are anyways.
Plus, some of that is we don't see the person all the time. In other words, a person may be very happy, happy, happy when they're out because that's part of their persona. Mm-hmm. But then when they're back at the house, they're dealing with the realities of life. And we all have our ups and downs. Mm. Some people obviously are more outgoing and more energetic and what's the word? Phlegmatic? Is that when you cough a lot? Is that phlegmatic?
Yeah. No, that's the right use of that word. No, you got it. You got it. Points to you. You get the grammar award.
Phlegmatic. Are we still?
Yeah, we're
book?
So. I was gonna give an example of someone who was sad, but in the midst of their grieving, in the midst of their sadness, they had assurance. And I'm thinking about Martha. Right? I'm thinking about Martha. In John chapter 11.
Her brother has just died four days before.
Jesus would go to Bethany, and he'd visit with them often. Right. Somehow he loved this family, and Lazarus got sick, really, really, really sick, and then he died. And his sisters were just absolutely torn up about this.
Mary and Martha.
They sent word to Jesus for him to come so he can heal Lazarus before Lazarus would die. But it's in the text, it's like Jesus deliberately waits.
Right.
He's like, no, I'm not in a hurry to go. Yeah. Oh, he's about to die. I'm not in a hurry to go anywhere. Jesus, what are you doing?
Because he knows he's about to do this great miracle.
So Jesus eventually comes, and Lazarus has already died, and he's already buried, entombed, I should say.
Right.
Martha comes weeping. I mean, she's just grieving because her brother's dead. She's like, Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. If I remember correctly in the text, even Jesus weeps over Lazarus, doesn't he?
Well, the shortest verse in the English Bible, John 11:35, Jesus wept.
Right. So she says in John 11:21-22, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you.
Sounds like she's implying you could raise him from the dead now if you wanted to.
Isn't that an amazing faith that she has?
It is.
But now I want to point something out. Her faith is one thing and her emotions are another thing.
That's a good point.
And so a lot of preachers and maybe a lot of people might think that there's an emotional component to faith, that you only really believe if you feel a certain way. And I think biblically speaking, faith and emotions are two different things. You can believe whether you're happy or whether you're tired or whether you're angry or whether you're sad or whether you don't really feel anything at all. Faith is one thing and your emotions are something completely different.
That's exactly right.
Happy people can believe and sad people can believe. You know, like Bob, you're mostly angry all the time, right?
Yeah, that's right.
No.
You're very mild.
Yeah, don't tell him. I'm angry usually when I get at home and I try to get some peace and quiet and I can't get any from the kids. But I'm still a believer through those things.
Amen.
And no matter how you feel, you can still have faith, just like Martha. So she believes that Jesus can bring him back from the dead. And then Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And by the way, that sounds like there's two conditions there. Whoever lives and believes in me. And that means what?
Ultimately, it means you cannot be born again after you die. You've got to come to faith in this life.
Right.
So that's why it says whoever lives and believes in me, even though in the whole rest of the book, it's just whoever believes, like John 3:16.
Right.
But here he's making it specific. You have to do that while you're living.
Right. And so then Jesus continues, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this. Now, if he was in a modern day school or modern day classroom, Jesus might say, how does that make you feel?
Yeah, exactly.
On the resurrection of life, how does that make you feel?
He doesn't
He doesn't ask that. The obvious answer is she feels terrible because her brother is rotting in a tomb.
Right.
So Jesus doesn't ask her how she feels. It's obvious how she feels. He asks her if she believes that he has the power to resurrect her brother and basically herself, too.
Right.
Well, did she believe? Yes, she did. John 11:27, she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world. Martha said, yes. Whatever she felt at that moment, she believed that what Jesus said was true. She believed Jesus could raise up Lazarus, and she believed she would be raised on the last day. So her heart might have been full of sorrow because of her brother, but her mind was full of faith, and she had assurance of salvation.
Absolutely.
So I don't know what you're feeling today. You might be struggling with your assurance today, and I don't know what you're going through in your life, what kind of struggles you're going through. I heard a preacher say we're either going into a storm, or we're in a storm, or we're coming out of a storm. What life is like. Wherever you are, whatever aspect of the storm you're in, you can believe in the one who stilled the storm. And the one who stilled the storms is also the one who promised everlasting life to the believer.
Absolutely. And there's no reason for us to lose our assurance if we keep our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and perfecter of our faith. He's the one that makes the promise of everlasting life. You can depend on his promise, where he said, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. That is beyond doubt. That is, take it to the bank. It's absolutely sure. And so don't look to your feelings. Don't look to your emotions. Don't wonder, do I have the kind of feelings a Christian should have? Instead, look to Jesus. Put your faith in him and what he's promised.
Thanks to Sean and Bob for that great, encouraging discussion that sometimes our feelings don't line up with our beliefs. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on this subject. If that's the case, I would highly suggest you get your own copy of Sean's book, Beyond Doubt, How to Be Sure of Your Salvation. You can do that by going to faithalone.org/store, or just go to faithalone.org and click on the store button. You can get that and many other books that we have available. Speaking of what's available, we've got all kinds of free resources on the site as well. Do you like magazines? Well, we put out a magazine 6 times a year. Do you like videos? We've got all kinds of free teaching videos. Do you like podcasts? We've got a podcast of this show. You can get it on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, but you can get it right there on the site as well, faithalone.org. There's these and many more resources available for you. Our aim is to help you grow and mature and to stay engaged in the Christian life. Maybe you'd like to become a financial partner with us so that we can continue to do this work that we're doing. We would very much appreciate it. You can find more information on how to do that at faithalone.org. Maybe this series is really shaking some things loose for you. If that's the case, I hope you'll reach out to us. We love to hear from listeners. The best way to reach our team is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Next time on the broadcast, we're going to be asking the question, can I really know for sure if I'm saved? Find out the answer to that and much more on the next episode. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.